sounds really good.
Little Marshall Tucker.
I love it.
All right.
That'll put a tap in your toe, won't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? 2 acres of grass at the ASU Stadium that Brian takes care of. And I've got the old Santa Ana tip that y'all were just talking about. And if I just give it Turf Royale once a month, it's the happiest grass in the neighborhood. But you gotta be, you gotta feed it.
Yep.
But my bane right now, one is a puppy.
Hell yeah!
The new puppy has come very, very close to being set out for adoption, because he only digs in the area that's the nicest lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I got a half acre back there, but it's like this one spot. But Spurge, I mean, every time you see a bird fly over ASU football field, you must just want to cry.
Yeah, yeah. I try to teach them to fly upside down when they cross the stadium. But
that's good.
It is a very tough weed. We are pretty lucky that we don't have too much of a weed problem in the stadium itself. If we do see something, it'll be a screwdriver and on my hands and knees pulling it out. But some of our other fields, our older fields that we have, we do have weeds, Spurge included. And, we've had luck with a product called Speed Zone. And the key with that is you want to spray that in July and August when it's humid, monsoon season, because that chemical that kills the Spurge will also kind of ding or set back your Bermuda grass a little bit. So you want to make sure you're applying it when that Bermuda grass is at its healthiest and can kind of bounce back from that spraying. But you have to be vigilant with that Spurge. You have to, 2 or 3 applications, and it might be over a couple of years before you finally get it under control.
Man, I've tried everything. Yeah. I pre-emergent that thing to death in February and March. And John, you'll be very proud to hear, I've even taken my flamethrower. Where the Spurge is growing in the yard, I don't mow it, of course. And I let it get a little long. It does react to fire.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
It has so much seed on it. That's it's just full. That's why you see the birds out there after it so badly. It's just full of seed, and that's even if you're pulling it, you need to be careful. I used to tell people to get a garbage bag over there and put it right in the garbage bag. Don't try and carry it across the lawn. And
man,
mowing it's probably not a good idea. That could spread seed. So pre-emergence will eliminate a lot of it, but it's hard to get it all. You got to stay on it.
Let's get to the next caller at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, talk to Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice or Brian Johnson, the field manager at ASU Stadium, about turf management. You can do that. 1-888-767-4348. We're going to bring in Rich from Queen Creek this morning.
Well, hi there. I've got a question about mulch. Just what is in it? And the reason for that question is that I have unlimited amounts of dairy manure, sawdust, and grass clippings. Can I make my own mulch?
Well, when you're talking about mulch, we often confuse mulch with compost. And mulch is simply something that we put on top of the ground around trees and shrubs and in flower beds to hold moisture down, to keep the plants moist. It can be decorative. You can use it as a decorative device. It can inhibit weeds. It's a really good tool for inhibiting weeds. And mulch can be anything. It can be, technically, it can be gravel. Can be mulch. I don't recommend it. Shredded newspaper. So, yes, any of your cow manures, horse manure, sawdust, any of those products can be put on top of the ground as a mulch. Now, if we're going to talk about compost, which you're going to till into the ground, incorporate into the soil before planting in a garden or to use as a planting soil amendment, Then it has to be composted. And you would want to take your cow manure and sawdust and grass clippings and start a pile somewhere or have a container that you can put it in and let the natural composting process break that stuff down, get the ammonia out of it, and get it, you know, so that it can then be used in the soil without robbing the soil. What'll happen if you take raw manures or any raw organic material and you just incorporate it in the soil, when it starts decomposing or composting, which it's going to do no matter what you do, if it's down in the ground, the microorganisms that nature uses to break that material down need nitrogen. And so you're robbing your soil of nitrogen to break those down. Plus, you can get some problems with the process of breaking it down with heat. Compost can get very hot. In fact, one of the ways that we create compost is it needs to reach a temperature of 135 degrees and stay that way for a couple of weeks and then be turned a few times. So mulch or compost depends on what you're really doing with that material as to how you need to handle it.
And I'm curious, Rich, you said you have an endless supply. Do you manage a dairy?
No, I just live in the area, and I guess maybe the term I should have used is potting soil.
Making a soil or a compost would be the same thing. You've got to compost that stuff first. You want to set it up in an area where you got some space, and you can mix some, those products together and turn it and use some water to get that process activated and started and get it up to temperature, and then turn it and get it up to temperature and turn it until it won't get up to temperature anymore. You'll know when you've created a soil or a compost with it. The fact that you can't get it to spike up in temperature anymore. It's done breaking down. You can get a soil thermometer, a type of a device to stick in that thing, or you could stick your hand in there until it's hot. Or throwing off heat, or sometimes they'll even catch on fire if you're not careful. But you definitely, if you're going to make a potting soil out of it, you'd probably want to then blend with this composted material. When you're all done, you would want to maybe get some peat moss and maybe a little bit of the perlite, that white material you'll see in a commercial potting soil that helps improve the drainage, and kind of blend all that together to make a really good potting soil.
And I think the name of the company is Western Organics. I can't remember, but yep. It's a group of dairy farms.
Oh, it's Diversified Organics.
Diversified Organics, okay. Mm-hmm. And that might be worth a call to them. Their field is right off the side of one of the roads. It's somewhere like
91st Avenue. Down by the river bottom.
And it's these three dairies, and they take all their dairy manure, and they've got these big rows, and they have this complete process. And you can see all the little thermometers out mm-hmm. there. Like you said, fire sometimes. You see a pile smoking. That might be worth a trip out to there and see what they could show you.
Yeah. Darren Keener is a gentleman's name that runs that. I don't know if he'd share his trade secrets with you or not.
Who knows? But you could at least see how somebody does it professionally.
Right. There's a bit more to it than if you're just talking about mulching and throwing it on top of the ground. So,
I had a texter wanted to know, when should bird of paradise be cut back?
I would assume they're talking about the Mexican-type bird of paradise or red birds. Wintertime, same time we do roses, December, January, early February. Right now they're beautiful. You certainly don't want to cut them back now.
You can text questions to 411-923. You can also send an email if you need help with picture or plant, if you need a picture to help with plant or insect identification. And then the call in number, 1-888-767-4348. We tried to take Char earlier, and she couldn't hold on any longer, but wanted to plant a sisu tree. And she's got people trying to talk her out of that, the pros and cons of sisu.
Well, they have a, well, not a reputation, it's a deserved notoriety of sending up root shoots, root suckers. It would depend on where it's being planted. If it's in a grassy area where it's going to get a lot of water, that can be troublesome. But we tend to have more problems with those trees when you cut them down, when you decide people panic. They hear about this awful tree that's going to do all these awful things. Well, if it's not doing it already, that it may not. But once you go to cut it down, then you got to get on top of it. They have this survival mechanism, for lack of a better whatever to call it. But once you cut that tree off, then it's just
every root.
Starts wanting to grow a shoot of a tree. There's some things you can do to control that, that's a classic tree that you want to make sure the place you're putting it is where you want it to be. Because you never want to cut it down because you got it too close to something or whatever. And they get big. So
they do get big. My neighbor planted about, I'm going to say 20 of them. I'm trying to remember. It's been 14 or 15 years now. But I tell you what, summertime, you know, he's got a row of them that just provide this incredible shade canopy right next to his workshop, and he's got a couple more around his backyard. I mean, it creates a great shade canopy. It's a good tree if it's in the right place.
Yeah, it's. I'm not as quick to maybe just freak out when people say sisu as some folks, but you know, there's a place for them. I think where you have a lot of property. If you're planting it and maybe it's in a typical subdivision and you're right on top of each other in a side yard of a house, maybe that's not the best spot for it.
Or close to the foundation of a home.
Yeah, right.
You don't want those roots coming up underneath your slab. Another text question, what's the best time to plant Chinese elm? I mean, this is your favorite time to plant.
Fall is the best time to plant almost anything, and especially trees.
Anything but Bermuda grass.
True. And as we get later into the fall, we want to watch planting, sensitive, cold sensitive material like the gentleman before, hibiscus. Early fall is a great time to plant hibiscus. You got up until about Halloween. But once we get later in the fall, you want to watch, things that aren't as cold hardy. But right now, even cold sensitive things, hibiscus, bougainvillea, all those things, the soil is like this little incubator right now. It's going to stay warmer than the air. The air is going to cool, which is going to be great for the plant's transpiration. It's not going to lose as much moisture, but the roots are going to sit there in that warm soil and start to root in. And the plant will be established come next spring when the air temperatures warm up and you just get this explosion of growth. It's literally like gaining a whole year's planting time if you plant in the fall. So you can't go wrong planting a Chinese elm, and you can't go wrong planting it right now.
Final segment coming up, we've got Mike and Gilbert, who wants help with the roses. We'll see how we can help him right after this.